It's a glass ceiling. A ceiling. Hard facts.
All right, Lagos, you're listening to Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. What should you know about breastfeeding? On the glass ceiling, we discuss ways to destroy the invisible obstacles that prevent women from achieving social, economic, cultural, and political equality in our society. And today we are talking about improved outcomes for breastfeeding mothers. It's World Breastfeeding Week. Large numbers of new mothers breastfeed their babies, largely because of all the sensitization about exclusive breastfeeding, also because of the rising cost of formula and other alternatives. And yet, breastfeeding still remains a difficult process with not enough support from society, not enough support from our institutions, right? And that's why today I'm hoping that we can have a conversation that addresses all of these points. And here to talk about the challenges of breastfeeding and the ways to improve the situation is Dr. Chioma Nwakama Akano. Dr. Chioma, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. Looks like Dr. Chioma's internet isn't very great. I think you can put your video off. It doesn't look like the internet is being very friendly with you. So at least we can hear you. All right, great. But Lagos, we are streaming this conversation live on Facebook. Facebook is Nigeria Info 99.3. YouTube is Nigeria Info FM. And of course, you can join the conversation, right? If you've got questions about breastfeeding, about exclusive breastfeeding, about neonatal nutrition, about the health of the baby and the mother, you have those questions, feel free to call and ask our doctor on the show today. Dr. Chioma, first things first, what are the benefits of breastfeeding? Why have public health authorities been so energetic about promoting breastfeeding?
Me on today's show. I don't know if you can hear me clearly.
Now we can, yes.
Oh, great. Okay, so I'll start by saying that the concept of breastfeeding is something that is really valuable to humanity, not just to women. It has diverse benefits for not just the child, but also the mother and the economy at large. So it affects the mother, the child, and I dare say the public, everyone, our economy. It also helped by just that simple art of breastfeeding. I'll start with the benefits for the child, obviously, since we're talking about the children. They're the primary, primary beneficiaries of exclusive or breastfeeding generally. Mm-hmm. Mustn't be exclusive, mm-hmm. but breastfeeding generally. Mm-hmm. Okay, so for the child, the benefits of breastfeeding, of course, it contains everything. You know, research has shown that the breast milk contains everything, I mean, nutrient-wise, that the child needs to grow, at least for the first 6 months, you know, of life, before you can be, it's recommended that they can introduce complementary feeding or any complementary foods to the child. Mm. So the child is well-fortified with breast milk only for the first 6 months of life, nutrient-wise. And also, these nutrients also go beyond the normal 6 classes of food, micronutrients we know. Mm. We're also talking antibodies here, because a child that is well-breastfed, of course, the breast milk contains antibodies that help the child fight infections. You know, children, when they are born, just like old people, have very low immunity, right, which means they are susceptible to any environmental diseases. Anything flying around can get to them.
Right.
So the breast milk contains the antibodies that they require to fight off infections. Mm. So that's one important thing. And also, when a child is breastfeeding, it kind of safeguards the child from every other disease, you know, environmental or endemic disease around, especially bacterial infections that are usually transferred from the mouth Mm-hmm. Right. And there are some things that we eat, you ingest, that can cost you, let me use very simple terms, stomach
upset
diseases, right. Stomach bacteria,
right,
you know, but upset. Yeah, exactly. So when a child is well breastfed, these antibodies help fight infection. And when a child is breastfed, it reduces the risk of coming in contact with all these environmental things. Example, a child that is fed, given foods, you know, foods that we have around, you know, you have the risk of unwashed fruits, poorly washed fruits, or poorly prepared foods, poorly cooked foods or meals. You know, they all come with their kind of bacteria, etc., diseases. Mm-hmm. And because a child is not strengthened enough to fight off that infection, mm-hmm. it might not even affect the adult. It might just be a normal thing. Oh, you know, you can just fight it off. But for a child, it can really bring a child down to the, I mean, it can range from mild to severe, you know. So it's, there's this protective thing it also gives, aside the direct antibody protection. It also reduces the risk of, you know, outside or external infections that could attack this child.
Hmm.
So nutrient-wise, antibody-wise, it really, it really helps the child grow and thrive.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll quickly chip in here. When we say nutrient-wise, it also includes water, Sandra, because, you know, I'm a new mom, so aside being a doctor, I'm a new mom, so I've experienced firsthand when people say, "Eh, I know, I've heard it, but I've experienced it now." When people say, "You're just giving breast milk, give the child water, Joe." You know, give the child water. The child needs water. The truth is, breast milk contains enough water for the child. You know, as adults, we tend to project our own needs on the child.
Right.
You know, as an adult, you need water to thrive. But
right.
For the child, the water contains two parts. It comes in two parts.
Right.
The fore milk and the hind milk. So
right.
The first milk is the fore milk that contains water, primarily water.
Okay.
Any woman who is expressing will show you that the first time the milk is coming out,
mm-hmm.
it's just plain. It's like palm wine. It's just, you know, it's cloudy kind of.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the water before the main fat content and the nutrient dense mm-hmm. content comes later.
Mm-hmm.
So the child is well sorted.
Mm-hmm.
Nature just has it that way. The child is well sorted.
Mm.
So that's for the child. For the mother, there are also various benefits. Of course, when your child is healthy, you're well rested. Let's start with that.
Mm-hmm.
You're not running from pillar to post, you know, so you're not fighting infections, having those unnecessary sleepless nights.
Right.
So that's that. Then for the mother, also, it has a kind of contraceptive option. Yeah, breastfeeding. And I would quickly say here that we call it lactational amenorrhea.
Okay.
Now, lactational amenorrhea, which is like the contraception that breastfeeding gives,
mm-hmm.
comes with a clause. It comes with a clause. So while it gives you that contraceptive option,
because it can go
just anyway.
Yes.
You say that Dr. Choma said that's just breastfeeding and then you don't use your contraception.
Mm-hmm.
Please, this is not reliable.
Uh-huh.
It's not reliable. It's not 100%,
mm-hmm.
just like every other one. But this is very, very unreliable because it depends on how much breastfeeding you're giving.
Right.
So a woman who is exclusively breastfeeding
mm-hmm.
has better chances than someone who is either introducing meals or adding water,
mm.
you know. So if you're exclusively breastfeeding, you have better chances of, you know, having this contraceptive protection that it offers.
Mm-hmm.
However, it also depends on how exclusive is your exclusive.
Mm.
Those are my own words. How much do you breastfeed? If you're just sparingly breastfeeding, you see a mother who, let's say, feeds her child up to 15 times a day, then one who does like 8 times,
mm-hmm.
it's not going to give the same power because there's a hormone that is suppressed. And the more you produce, the more prolactin you have,
mm-hmm.
the more, you know, the estrogen and all those things are suppressed.
Mm-hmm.
So prolactin, oxytocin, all those things
mm-hmm.
suppress hormones that should help with your menstruation or your period. Mm-hmm. So if you, the more you breastfeed, the more the chances. But please, we always advise that even though this can offer that protection, it wouldn't hurt to use another
label. You know, back up the backup. Except you want to be breastfeeding and be pregnant at the same time, you know.
Oh, and it happens.
Oh, yeah?
It happens a lot. Oh, yes.
It happens a lot.
I saw a tweet. Yes. Oh. I saw a tweet recently. Somebody said, how can you come back from maternity leave with another pregnancy? And I was laughing. You know?
But how can you come back from maternity leave with another pregnancy?
Oh, man. Like,
how does it happen?
Things, they occur in our Nigerian. Okay, so how it happens is just the way I said it. You know, people, firstly, a lot of information needs to go out there. A lot of people, I'll say information-wise, people are deficient.
Okay.
Not because the information is not out there, but either people are not seeking it or it's not coming to them.
Okay.
So that's why this is a very wonderful platform for our listeners to learn.
Right.
To know that being pregnant, just having had a child, people wait. Some women think they need to bleed first. I mean, see their period first before they know that, oh, okay, yeah, it's time for me to start protecting myself, you know. But the truth is, ovulation happens before menstruation, you know. Ovulation happens before menstruation. So if you see your period, it means ovulation has already occurred. So some women ovulate and they don't know, because, I mean, your body has gone through changes. You don't even know what's happening again. It's not like before. Maybe you could be able to tell that this is what is happening with me at the moment. But it's a new cycle. So they miss when the ovulation happens, and it can happen as early as 6 weeks, you know, for some women. Yeah, so ovulation occurs, and they never, some women never see their period before the next pregnancy. That's, they just give birth, they get pregnant straight up, they didn't see any period. It happens. So you can't even judge their last menstrual period. In fact, the last menstrual period is the last one with the last pregnancy, you know. So women need to be aware that it can happen. So please, please, and please, you know, as Sandra said, back up your backup. It's really important.
Okay, so you've talked about the nutritional benefits for the children, and now you've talked about the contraceptive benefit for the mother. Are there other benefits of breastfeeding?
Yes. So for the mother, of course, there's the benefit of maternal and child bonding.
Okay.
For the mother, there's a bonding. Yeah, so the child gets to know the mother's smell, the mother's voice, you know. There's just this bonding that we, is nature, I can't explain it,
right?
So that's one thing. Also, the when breastfeeding is happening, children get to have their own good bacteria. You know, there's good bacteria, bad bacteria,
right?
So children get their own good bacteria from their mother's skin. So that's why we always say it's not, unless the woman went through some really dirty stuff and she needs to take her bath, you know, it's not necessary for a woman to wash her breasts before she breastfeeds. You know, I know that was a practice back in the day, but right now, yes, recent research has shown that you don't need to, unless you're visibly dirty or really sweaty, you came in, you need to take a shower. I mean, if you've been indoors, there's no need to always run to go and wash your
You're getting rid of the healthy bacteria that could help your child's gut health.
Exactly. Yeah, because that's how the child develops
antibodies.
Its own immunity. Yeah. Their own immunity.
Right.
That's it. So that's another benefit. Then for mothers also, there's this. I can't really. This is. It's not 100%.
Okay.
There has been some research which says that when women are exclusively breastfeeding or breastfeeding very well, they tend to get back to their pre-pregnancy state faster.
Okay.
You know, I mean, feet-wise. But one thing I'm sure of is that the breastfeeding helps the uterus get back to its pre-pregnancy state faster.
Okay.
I'm sure of the uterus, but I think with our physical appearances, you can't really say, because there are different things that contribute to weight gain.
Right.
You know, so it could be, what are you eating? You know, you could be exclusively breastfeeding, but you're not eating well, you're not, you know, exercising, or you're just sedentary. So I can't really say, but yes, if you're doing the things right, it can help.
Okay.
If you're doing every other thing right, it can help.
It can help, but with then your snapback.
you get, that's the word, snapback. So for the tummy, yes, it can help with the tummy snapback when the uterus goes back to its pre-pregnancy form because of the contractions that occur when you're breastfeeding. Every woman breastfeeding will tell you that when they are breastfeeding, they feel pain. Some abdominal cramps, it almost mimics the period cramps.
Cramps, true.
You know, that women,
yeah.
So that's the uterus is contracting to get back to its pre-pregnancy states and all. So that's it. Also helps with the bones. It reduces the risk of osteoporosis. You know, that's another thing. So there are diverse benefits even for the economy. And also economically, it helps because when you're breastfeeding is the woman, you're just thinking of yourself. You know, you have to feed to be nourished to feed your baby. You're not thinking of buying baby formula or baby milk or baby food and all that. That can start coming from after 6 months. So there's also that financial benefit
for the family. But of course, to be clear, formula is also a healthy alternative, yes?
So we always say that, which is the truth, breast milk is the best for every child.
Okay.
Breast milk, as much as a woman, any woman can breastfeed, we advise that you breastfeed. Mm-hmm. However, I think it's the balance I would like to create today because based on my experience and experience of people around me professionally and personally, I've seen a lot of women who struggle with breastfeeding. It's a genuine challenge that people need to acknowledge. So many women feel that once you put to bed, once you deliver your child, you know, the milk just starts flowing immediately. You put your baby to breast, you know, and then... But people don't even think about it. It's natural. So they just expect that the breast milk should flow. However, this isn't the case for every woman. And some women have low milk supply, which could even... It even goes beyond months. While some people just have the low milk supply for a few days, some people could just be 1 day, you know, and then they can resume. So what we always advise is, I mean, you are in the hospital or in a maternity, so if you put to bed, they would know what to do there to hold your child. They are trained to know what to do. Just don't... The most important thing is that we want a child that is fed. If you've tried your best as a mother... You've tried and you are trying your best as a mother and you notice that your supply is low. While you're still trying to establish, you know, sufficient supply for your child, we advise that you can include formula. Please include formula because we want the child to be fed. You know, we don't want a diehard kind of experience where you say, I know exclusive is the best and we know it's the best. But, you know, you're not producing what this child needs and the child is suffering and you know you're not giving the child enough breast milk. The important thing is a well-fed child. So please, the formula also has been made in such a way that it kind of mimics the nutrients that... the breast milk contains, of course, not the same, but it can actually help this child thrive. It's also a healthy option for your child. Just get a good formula to supplement or to complement the breast milk you're giving till you're able to establish proper breastfeeding and then you can continue, be it the first few days. However, I also advise that this woman speak to a lactation consultant. You can find lactation consultants in hospitals. There are also some private lactation consultants now. I mean, with all the conversations that have been going on with breastfeeding, you can find them around. Even just type lactation consultants if your hospital doesn't have one, or inquire with your hospital. They can find one for you if you don't have any. They are trained to help you, you know, as a mother, you know, to produce milk enough for your child.
I'm glad you brought up the talking point about well-fed baby because I know that there's a lot of debate about exclusive breastfeeding versus well-fed baby. And I want to talk to you about that, but we have to take a break. So first up, Lagos, and I see that the phone lines are already ringing. People have lots of questions for you, Dr. Choma. So you are our consultant breastfeeding expert on the show today. Dr. Choma Wakama Akano is a public health expert, and she's talking to us about breastfeeding. What should you know about it? She'll keep talking to us when we come back from this break. You can join the conversation by calling 0700-993-993-993. Women, call us on 01465-7190. We've got WhatsApp. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. Let me tell you about Chipper.
This is a Glass Ceiling, a ceiling on Hard Facts. Hard Facts.
What should you know about breastfeeding? I'm Sandra Ezekwesile. I've got a doctor on the show with me today. She's a public health expert, Dr. Chioma Nwakama Akano. And we're talking about breastfeeding today. We're talking about improved outcomes for breastfeeding feeding mothers because it's World Breastfeeding Week. Large numbers of new mothers breastfeed their babies because of all the sensitization that people like Dr. Chioma do about exclusive breastfeeding. Also because formula don't cost. But like Dr. Chioma has said, a well-fed baby is the most important thing. And she's also said that even though breast milk is preferred, formula is also a healthy alternative. Chioma, I have that right, yes? Doctor?
Yes.
All right. Yes, so back to that that debate about exclusive breastfeeding versus well-fed baby, especially because I have a comment here from Vivian on WhatsApp. Vivian on WhatsApp says, how possible is it for a woman to not have breast milk at all? From day one, not a single drop of breast milk. From day one, the baby did not taste a single drop of breast milk. The baby is 3 years old now. What's the explanation for that? So when you take into consideration a question like that, a comment like that, it really feeds into that debate that has mostly the internet split, and I'm guessing medical professionals as well, exclusive breastfeeding versus well-fed baby. But before we get to that, what do you think happened in Vivian's case here? Hi, Doc. Can you hear me, Doc?
Hi, I'm back. Sorry, the network just kicked me off.
Oh, okay.
I can hear you now.
All right, go ahead. So did you hear the last thing I said? Hi, Doc.
Yes, all right. Yes, I did.
Oh, go ahead.
I did. Okay, it's a very important question she asked. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad we're starting with it.
Mm.
So let's say it's unpopular, but it's something that happens. And I think the reason why it's unpopular is because we've not been having this kind of conversation, open conversations with mothers in the past. You know, in Africa and Nigeria, where we live in, things concerning pregnancy or issues concerning pregnancy, breastfeeding are kind of shrouded in secrecy. Hmm. You just see people staying on their own. They don't, how are you? I'm fine. How did he go? Oh, we thank God.
He's well.
That's our motto, and that's cool.
Mm.
However, when you have the chance or you have the opportunity to share your experiences, please share your experiences. And that's what I do. I've been sharing my academic and clinical experiences, and now I have personal experiences to add to that. How possible is it for a woman to, you know,
to not have breast milk? Cha 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 cha.
At all, it's possible. While it's not common, not so common, but it's possible. In fact, when I say not so common, it's not like it doesn't happen to a lot of people. I don't have statistics right now to prove, but in my personal experience, a lot of women complain about that, at least for the first few days.
Mm-hmm.
And there are different reasons why this could happen. You know, it could be because, you know, for women maybe who had preterm births, you know, maybe the breasts are not yet ready, you know, for that. So it could happen. Now, the thing with breastfeeding, there are some key things with breastfeeding. You just firstly have to, of course, be informed, and you have to be patient, and you have to ask questions when you are when you don't have any information about something, you ask questions. Don't be shy to ask your doctors questions. Ask them why and how. And I think this is also where some hospitals in Nigeria are failing it. I must confess, we're failing it because the woman just puts to bed and you send her home. Okay, congrats. pay us our bill and goodbye. For an efficient, you know, to have an efficient maternity care, mm-hmm. it goes beyond pregnancy and the delivery.
Mm.
We're also discussing this prenatal care. Mm. So it's not just antenatal care, it's also postnatal. How healthy is this woman? How healthy is her baby? If you're concerned about the health of the baby, you should be concerned about how much food and how well this baby is being fed.
Mm.
So you want to help the mother establish breastfeeding, you know, till she goes, or open, keep the lines open for communication mm. as she goes, to help her tell her what she needs to do to, you know, do that. So I wouldn't know for this peculiar case mm-hmm. that you just mentioned,
mm-hmm.
Because I would want to find out how long did she keep trying
mm.
when she found out she wasn't able. You know, some people just give up. I've tried first day, second day, you know, they come out. I beg, let's just start to give formula. I don't have time. This baby has to be fed. It's okay to introduce formula, but I always advise, keep trying. Talk to a lactation consultant. Keep trying. It happens. But if you just relax and wait for it to just happen, it won't just happen in many women. Because you have to put the baby to breast. The child, you know, with breastfeeding, there's a lot. There's the hormonal hormonal letdown. There is also the maternal. There's that mother-to-child connection that excites some hormones, like oxytocin, you know, to cause milk letdown.
Okay.
So there has to be that connection. When your baby is, mothers will tell you, when the baby puts his ears or her mouth, you know, their mouth to the areola latch well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to the nipple or the areola latch well.
Mm-hmm.
There's a letdown. It happens. Maybe the baby has been there. Sometimes some people will say, when my baby started crying
mm-hmm.
or my baby felt needy, I had a letdown.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that kind of emotional connection that helps with letdowns
mm-hmm.
too.
Mm-hmm.
But the baby has to be attached. So I want to know whether she kept trying to patiently attach her baby to the nipple. And did the baby latch well? That's another thing. Some people just don't know how to help their baby latch well.
Mm.
Some babies naturally don't know how to latch well. The baby should latch on the areola, not the nipple.
Mm.
So some people put their babies to the nipple and think the milk will come down. No, it has to be, the baby's mouth has to close around the areola.
Dark, the entire dark surface dark on part. The breast.
Exactly.
Not just the pointy part, if you have a pointy type.
Thank you for making that simple. So not the point. So some people just put the baby sucking the nipple.
Mm.
The reflex is not going to happen.
Okay. You know,
it's not efficient enough for that to happen.
Okay.
So I think one take home, women and also men, because we're talking about education and support this year.
Right.
So we're not just talking to the women, because when we say it takes a community, it doesn't mean you have to go and call people from outside. It means everyone around you has to support.
Mm.
And I have to point out that when we're talking emotions,
mm-hmm.
negative emotions reduce the flow of breast milk. So when a woman already feels down, mm-hmm. emotional, like, I'm not making breast milk, my child is hungry, how do I do this? Or you are stressed mm-hmm. emotionally, physically, don't have help.
Mm-hmm.
There are different factors that could bring her emotions down.
Mm-hmm.
And when this happens, her supply, you know, it's going to go down, because those hormones that help the blood down will be suppressed by all those stress hormones.
Negative
that
emotion,
come up.
They
suppress
yeah.
those hormones.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a lot there. For each woman, it's not the same thing causing their low milk supply.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's why we say talk to a lactation consultant who will talk to you and know your peculiar need and help you. Is it that your baby is not latching well? Is it your emotions? Is it, you know, they're just different things,
mm-hmm.
I would say. But does it happen? Yes, it does happen. In fact, for a lot of women, they may not be able to flow the first day, maybe because they are tired. Even though we advise that you put your baby to breast within the first 30 minutes to an hour after, so that it can increase that. But some women are tired. Imagine a woman who had a cesarean section.
Mm-hmm.
She might be trying to recover.
Mm-hmm.
So in that case, the baby could take a formula. The hospital could give the baby a formula to just keep the baby, you know, going till mm-hmm. the mother is ready to start
breastfeeding. Which then brings me to that debate about well-fed versus exclusive breastfeeding, right? Because so you have cases where the woman simply cannot produce. You have cases where as a result of maybe postpartum depression, the woman cannot bear to touch her child, cannot bear to look at her child, but the child needs to feed anyway. And then you have cases where the breastfeeding itself may be an entirely, what's the word I'm looking for now, stressful event for the new mom, you know, but you have all this messaging towards her, oh, exclusively breastfeed, which is why some medical professionals are now saying, you know what, welfare is what is most important, you know. Where do you stand on that debate on welfare versus exclusive breastfeeding?
Okay, where I stand is what you just said last year, later statement, because we know the benefits. I think at this point, everybody knows how important exclusive breastfeeding is. So I don't think there's any mother that cares for her child that doesn't want.
Looks like we lost connection to Dr. Chioma there. But you have lots of thoughts. So let's take some of your calls until we are reconnected to Dr. Chioma. We have a public health expert on the show with us. It's World Breastfeeding Week. And Dr. Chioma Nwakama Akano is on the show with us answering our questions about breastfeeding. The numbers to call are 0700-993-993-993. WhatsApp is 080-959-7580. Someone says to ask, okay, well, I've asked that question already from Vivian. Fola says, what's the milk alternative for babies or children who are lactose intolerant? Okay, I don't know if this is related to what we're talking about.
I don't think that's actually within the scope of what we're talking about.
Of our conversation, right?
Mostly because... Yes, because lactose intolerance is quite uncommon in children. So I want to know, why do you think your baby is lactose intolerant?
Oh.
What are you giving your child?
Oh.
And how old is your baby? Yeah, it's not common.
For children. Yes, but back to that question I was asking before we lost the connection to you.
That I was answering. Yeah, I was saying, I stand with you with the last thing you said about where doctors stand now, or where healthcare practitioners stand now. Because as important as exclusive breastfeeding is, we have to acknowledge that people have challenges and it's not easy. Sandra, it is not easy.
Hmm.
In fact, personally, with all the knowledge I have and everything, there are some times when I'm like, I'm not doing it again. Like, what is all this? I am dead tired and I have to sit up, you know, and some people have children that they have different choices. Some children won't even bottle feed. They don't want to take from the bottle. So while you're exclusively breastfeeding and expressing for the child to make things easy for you, the child is rejecting the bottle and the child wants to suck directly. We have to acknowledge those challenges.
Yeah.
It's very important that we do. So in this case, where a woman is genuinely, because we're not just talking about the baby's health, the mother has to be healthy and thriving for the baby to also be healthy and thriving. So it's a holistic thing.
Right.
So if that is the case,
right,
and you've done all you can, and you know you've gotten to that point where I can't, we don't want you to break down. There are formulas, very good formulas. Please feed your child. Whenever you bounce back, whenever your supply comes back,
you try again.
Whenever you've expressed enough, for those who are lucky enough to have their children taking the bottle, express, get a breast pump. I always preach, get a breast pump. Preferably an electric or a double electric breast pump that you don't need to, you don't the manual one. The manual is good. It also has its own days when it's really needed and helpful. But then with the electric breast pump, your hands are free. You can do whatever you're doing. I can have this conversation I'm having with you
and be pumping,
and, you know, be pumping at the same time. It's really helpful. And that way, when you need to sleep, someone else can, you know, delegate feeding duties. Your partner can help you feed. Your nanny can help you. Your mothers, your siblings, anyone, your friends, anyone around can help you feed your child while you either get rest or get to do the work, whatever your work for the day is. So that's where I stand. That's why I always tell people, when you're holistic, there's no need for you to stigmatize women. You know, some people say, that one is giving her child formula. You know, mothers of these days.
Yeah.
I don't like this
comment. Internet mothers.
You know, exactly. And you know the funny thing?
What?
You know the funny thing?
What?
Research has shown, in fact, according to the WHO, in recent times, I mean, mothers of this age, let me use the word they use, the mothers of this age are actually exclusive breastfeeding more than the mothers of before. Because
are you serious?
Yes, because The thing is, educate. When people have information, when you tell someone this is why you should do this, mm-hmm. they are more inclined to do it than just telling them to do it.
Mm.
Oh, do this. It feels like a duty.
Mm.
But when you share the benefits with them, like how we started,
mm-hmm.
These are the benefits for the mother, for the child. In fact, breastfeeding reduces the risk of breast cancer and ovarian cancer too.
Mm.
You know, when you tell them all these things, I don't know, like better thing. You will try your best.
We have a message here that says, good afternoon, President Sandra and Dr. Chioma. I have 3 children, but I didn't breastfeed any of them because I am XYZ positive. Though I'm taking my drugs seriously, but I don't want to risk their lives. Please, I hope there won't be any problem in the future.
Oh, you know, I really thank this person for bringing this up, because when we're talking about inclusion, this is part of it.
Yeah.
These are also part of the realities we have to, you know, talk about, to acknowledge, consider. So for people living with HIV and AIDS,
right,
there are 2 things. It depends on their immunity. How safe are you, right? If you've been taking your drugs regularly and your CD4 count is, you know, adequate, you know, then you speak with your gynecologist. This is not a journey you do on your own. That's why I'm being careful.
Yeah.
This is not a general recommendation at all, I have to say.
Right.
It's not a general recommendation. So depending on your CD4 count,
mm-hmm.
if the CD4 count is low, then of course, even if you're taking your medication, which you should take your medication during the antenatal period, and even you don't stop because some people feel, oh, these drugs may harm the baby. No, you take your drugs before, during, after. It's for life. So you keep taking your drugs so that you know, shield the child, and when the child is born, the child is also given some prophylaxis.
Mm-hmm.
right now you can either decide, just like the lady who texted,
mm-hmm.
to say, I don't want to risk my child at all,
mm-hmm.
right, especially mm-hmm. if your immunity is very low,
mm-hmm.
or you just decide, even though it's not low, I don't want to risk it.
Right. Right.
However, for women who have a good, healthy immunity,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, adequate CD4 counts, you've spoken to your doctor, and they can give you the go ahead and say you have to breastfeed.
Mm.
You can't breastfeed your child. But here is the clause. And in this part, you know, for others, we can just give concessions. But for here, if you must breastfeed your child, it has to be exclusive for 6 months and you stop.
Hmm.
You don't combine water or any food. So exclusive breastfeeding, strictly exclusive. If you know you're not going to be able to follow through due to some challenges and all that, then please, please, and please just go with the formula until it's time, and then you can introduce.
So her question is, since I did not breastfeed 3 of my children, I'm worried about their future.
Anything?
Yes. You know, does she have anything to worry about? They're okay.
No,
okay.
No,
then okay. So my studio assistant was asking, for mothers who do not breastfeed, are you saying that there's no bonding between the mother and the child?
No. There are different ways to bond with your child. You just have to be present.
Okay.
Just that when you're breastfeeding, this is an added benefit. So there are different ways to bond with your child.
Okay.
It doesn't mean that the straight answer is no.
Okay.
The straight answer is no.
Okay.
It doesn't mean that you're not going to be able to bond with your child. No.
All right. Let me go to the phone lines now before Lagos riots. 99.3. Hello.
Sandra.
Thanks for calling.
I've been calling.
Sorry. Sorry.
See.
Welcome.
Yeah, this is a very good and very educative. Anyway, see, I've stopped breastfeeding for a very long time. You know, your last baby is even 9 years old. Now, I want the doctor to educate those that are busting.
Mm.
Like now, me, my cup is 52. So I did exclusive for all my 4 children.
Okay.
But there are some females now, I continue to tell them, it's not how busting you are, it's how you lactate. Please, she should educate those ladies, because there is this neighbor of mine that the baby will just be crying.
Mm.
And this new woman is like, hey, I'm busting enough. I told her, no, this is not. So please, I want to
understand. So because she thinks that she's busty, she thinks if she breastfeeds, then she'll be bustier?
The milk is enough for the child. But it's not so, because I read it in a book. It's not how bossy you are that you lactate. So she should... It was okay for me, because me, I lactate very well.
Okay.
But my own is drunk.
Okay.
But this lady, she's bossy, but she's not lactating, but she's not listening to me.
Okay.
Please let the doctor educate me.
All right, Adeshewa, thanks for calling. I'm not sure I understand what she's saying, but this is probably something you've seen. Dr. Choma, what do you think?
Yes, I understand perfectly what she's saying.
Okay.
She's trying to say that the... amount of breast milk a woman produces, or the quantity of breast milk, is not directly proportional to how busty you are. So if, as a mother, your child is not adequately getting breast milk, you shouldn't just
relax yourself.
You shouldn't relax and say, yeah, don't worry, the milk will come, I'm busty enough. It's fast. When it comes to bust, especially pre-pregnancy, if you were already busty, it's the fat content, not the milk content. So if the woman is producing enough, like the woman who called in,
right,
then it's fine. But if she's, even some women have sore nipples, that's one of the challenges that make women just stop because of the pain. You know, when the child is breastfeeding, sore nipples is one thing, dry or cracked nipples. Some people even have inverted nipples structurally. They were born with inverted nipples.
Right.
And these are things that could cause, these are challenges that women have with breastfeeding.
Right.
You know, that's why I say in these peculiar cases, you speak with someone who can help you. For the sore nipples, most times it's something that comes, especially the first few days. Keep breastfeeding. It's still painful, but yeah, keep breastfeeding. After a while, the nipple is going to soften. The baby's suckling will soften the nipple. Just keep, it's that pain that you just have to walk through, you know, right? I know. So what she's trying to say is really valid. If you're feeding and you know your child is not getting enough milk, and how do you know your child is not getting enough milk? Women have to pay attention. When your child is sucking, you can check to see if there's anything flowing out.
Okay.
Listen for the child. There's this sound, you know, that sound when you're swallowing.
Yeah, like
there's a sound they make. You would know they are swallowing something liquid. They are swallowing milk. How long do they stay on the breast? They should, at least for one breast, they should stay at least 30 minutes, you know, to adequately suckle. And when a woman's breast empties, she knows. So does your breast feel lighter? You know, there are different ways you know your child is adequately, and of course the child's weight gain. So you
will also show
take
you
into consideration all these things whenever you're feeding your child. And if you need help, please reach out. If you're having breast engorgement, dog dots, reach out. And there are women around, older women around, you know, too, who are, you know, in the Nigerian space, who are always willing to help out because they really love breastfeeding a lot. They love to see mothers breastfeed. So they can do everything they can do
to help.
Share with you, share information with you to help you with that journey. I had... It's really happening.
I do wish we had more time to stay on the subject, but we have to take a break. Dr. Mwakama has been so helpful. I will have her back here next week, Wednesday at 4 o'clock. We're going to stay on breastfeeding because there's so much we haven't even covered. I've not talked about women who are working, for instance, you know. And there's a particular tweet I really liked from Dr. Choma on her Twitter at the moment. In that tweet, she said, exclusive breastfeeding 6 months plus, maternity leave 3 months or less, workplace no pumping rooms, no creche, kid intolerant, insufficient contact with child, reduced pumping time, stress-induced supply drop. How will it work? Because the mathematics is not mathematicking. I really loved that tweet. It's very thought-provoking. And when we have Choma back next week, Wednesday at 4 o'clock, we're going to talk about working moms and how this exclusive breastfeeding thing is supposed to work out for working moms, you know, especially moms who work in the corporate environment like myself. We'll keep talking next Wednesday, 4 o'clock. Doctor, thank you so much for joining us. Up next, I have two other women joining me at 5 o'clock to talk about Nigeria's fiscal situation, to talk about the price of dollar falling. So don't miss that conversation. One of them is from SBM Intelligence. The other one is from Steers Business. I am Sandra Ezekwesili. We're streaming live on NigeriaInfo.fm. We're streaming on Facebook and YouTube as well. This was The Glass Ceiling on Hard Facts. Don't go away.
Nigeria Info. Let's talk.